Sports Knoxville is proud to present the show that the fans deserve.
I'd consider myself a realist, all right, but in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. John Reed, Cody McCord will be here in a second, and Cam Black as we get set to talk sports and other things on this Tuesday, October 4th. I'll ask Cody how he is when he gets here, but Cam, how are you?
Doing well. Going through the week, Tuesday.
Feels really slow, man.
It does already. I bet it feels even slower for you coming back from being out of town getting readjusted. Always is interesting doing that. So.
I got home last night and was thinking it was Wednesday, and find out it was Monday. It was tough.
That's the worst feeling. Especially you're 2 days off. Yeah, that's a big gap. That's a big change.
Yeah.
but I'm doing well, hanging in there. Can't complain. That football game was whatever last night, I guess. It was...
Football game was stupid.
Yeah.
Football game was very dumb. It was one of those where I said I didn't really know where it was going. I know that the 49ers have had the Rams' number, despite how good Sean McVay has been with them. He just can't really beat the 49ers. He struggles with them. But then I was like, well, Trent Williams for the 49ers is out, so they're going to struggle.
Yep.
And I do think the 49ers struggled. It took Deebo Samuel just being a freak while also beating me in fantasy by like 5 points. So that last pass he had broke my spirits. But even then, the Rams were down 8 with a chance to drive to tie. And Stafford threw a pick 6 on a really good defensive play. Great, great defensive play. And then Sean McVay kind of looked at Stafford on the side and was like, "What the hell are you doing, bro?" It's like, what are you doing?
He loves throwing. That's the thing about Stafford. When he throws picks, they're almost always pick sixes, it seems like.
He throws a lot of pick sixes. He does throw a lot of pick sixes. I saw, just his numbers against the rest of the league compared to his numbers versus the 49ers, and it was like he's like 6 touchdowns, 6 interceptions against the 49ers. Mm-hmm. And then it was like 38 and like 7 or something crazy against everyone else or something similar. He just can't beat them.
He can't. And, just McVay, that's been his issue. Or McVay's issue, too, is beating them. Shanahan just kind of owns him for some reason. And he schemes it up offensively and gets enough out of what they need there. And then that Rams offense just can never do anything against that 49ers defense.
Yeah, I don't know what my power ranking list would be. Maybe the Titans trading A.J. Brown is on there as well, but seems really, really dumb what the Rams did with Robert Woods. Like, to give away Robert Woods for a 6th-round pick just so they could sign Allen Robinson and then never throw Allen Robinson the ball, that's one of the more head-scratching decisions. And if you're a Cooper Kupp supporter or a Cooper Kupp fantasy guy, like, you're living life. You love watching the Rams play because that's the only person Matthew Stafford wants to throw the ball to. He just sits back there and looks for Cooper Kupp. Nonstop. Cooper Kupp's going to be on pace again to have league-leading numbers across the board pretty much. 14 catches last night for some reason.
He just force-feeds him the ball.
Even made sure of throwing the last pass, like when they're down 15 points with like 45 seconds left, just threw another like 10-yard pass. 19 targets for Cooper Kupp last night.
That's ridiculous.
14 for Tyler Higbee. So like 33 targets for those two guys. Meanwhile, Allen Robinson, I guess he ended up with 6 targets, 2 catches for 7 yards. So watching them play, it really just jumps out like, man, they miss Robert Woods. I felt like they really miss Robert Woods.
Mm-hmm.
Then the defense just gets punked by the 49ers too.
Yep, just right down their throat.
Yeah, Debo just doing whatever he wants to him.
Man, and that one where he broke like three tackles and was gone, he's like, what are y'all doing?
Yeah, as someone who was desperately rooting against him for fantasy purposes, I was like, can you tackle? Please tackle? Okay, well, there's a 20-yard gain. Okay, missing. Here's a tackle. Yep. Nope. Okay, go and get tackle him here. And then Jalen Ramsey gets absolutely bulldozed as he runs into the end zone. I'm like, wow, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Great job,
Rams. Jalen Ramsey missing the tackle there and everything.
Yeah,
he got
trounced. They missed like four tackles. And that also was like the only way the 49ers could really score. That was a 7-6 game at that point. It has been a pretty weak year so far for primetime games. I feel like, have we gotten any good primetime games, really? Surely there's been at least one, but I can't think of any. The Bengals-Dolphins was pretty good for a lot of that game.
Yeah.
Once you get past, like, the scene where it looked like someone was maybe getting paralyzed. Once you got past that, I mean,
so outside of that,
49ers Broncos was 11-10 last week, but I don't think anyone would consider that good.
It wasn't fun.
Giants Cowboys was okay. Chiefs Chargers, I guess, on that Thursday night had some moments.
Yeah, that was a decent one. But for the most part, yeah, they have not put out a good primetime product.
No. Everyone still watches, though, because we love the NFL, but yeah. We haven't really gotten any. And last night was another one of those where it felt close for a lot of the game, but just felt ugly even when it was close.
Yeah, it was an ugly game just because you knew the Rams were struggling on offense and the Niners do what they do on offense, but it's not, like, pretty by any means. It's got some good concepts with Shanahan drawing it up, but it's just, you know, just a straightforward, we're going to run the ball, just a couple crossing passing routes, and that's about all we're going to do.
I come out of that thinking that the Rams were very, very lucky to win a Super Bowl last year. Yeah. I came out of that reevaluating that. And I'm like, okay, who do they actually beat on the way to the Super Bowl? So they played a Cardinals team who absolutely stunk.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, well, who would they get next? Who did they get next on their second game? They got that was the Bucs team, right, that was kind of dead in the water.
Yes.
They almost blew that game. Then they got the 49ers, and they almost blew that game. But they didn't play well in that one either. The 49ers dropped an interception that would have sealed it. And then they beat up on a Bengals team that, you know, shouldn't have been there. Which would make me sick if I was a Chiefs or Bills fan, because you have to think, like, hey, if we get to that Super Bowl, we're going to win. It makes me sick as a Titans fan, because I think we would have beaten that Rams team too. I just don't think that they have that carryover effect. I am ready to quit thinking about Los Angeles as one of the elite teams in the NFL. I don't think of them anywhere near that right now. Do you think the 49ers deserve to be considered a contender?
I'd say more. Yeah. I think I'm going to give it to them.
Okay.
Just because I think with that defense, if you can keep doing the pass rush like that and
Jeff Wilson looks pretty good, too.
Yep,
Bosa's leading the league in kind of pressures and being disruptive. He looks like a beast. The linebackers are healthy. The secondary's pretty healthy.
And I think they got a decent number of weapons on offense now. Receiver, I think Ayuk's fine. Debo, you know, is Debo. And
to me, like,
they need to do enough.
I need to see Kittle actually do something this year. I know he's been banged up and dealing with injuries, but
yep.
He looks rough last night.
That would be a big boost for him if he gets back to being him.
And Garoppolo doesn't seem very good at all, even worse than he was last year. So their defense, you are right. Everyone talks about Eric Bieniemy, but, you know, if we're looking for black coordinators that need to get an NFL job next year, I think the list probably should begin, and the number one option should be DeMeco Ryans, because we think of the 49ers as Kyle Shanahan's team, but, like, the last 2 years they've been carried by their defense.
Yep.
And he's been a defensive coordinator.
He's been really good, yep.
Is he in his second year as a defensive coordinator?
I think so.
Yeah. I was going to say either second or third.
Because, I mean, he really just stopped playing semi-recently, too.
And he looks like a stud. Like, he looks really good over there on that sideline. The defense plays really, really well. Like I said, it's his second year as a coordinator. He was a big-time player when he played, too. And he looks like he might be a star. And I would be surprised if he didn't get any coaching looks.
Yeah, I think he will for sure in this upcoming cycle.
Because the 49ers are a defensive team. Like, we just talked about it. Like, you said the defense is really good and it's a championship-level defense. And, yeah, like, we know that's his baby because we know Shanahan's an offensive guy.
Yep, absolutely.
Now you could say that D'Amico's kind of just taking over for Saleh or whatever, but they ain't missed a beat. They're just as good.
Yep, absolutely. So he's been holding it down, if not improving it. So, yeah, he should get some looks come around to the cycle. But, yeah, defense is good, but I'm with you, too. I am still a little worried about, like, Garoppolo. I don't think he's anything special. But also, he's done it before, you know. He's kind of done enough to get them there.
Just grinds it
out. He's just a winner somehow.
Well, he's a winner because his defense and his run game.
Yeah.
Deebo Samuel makes
the Tom Brady strategy.
Early Tom Brady strategy. That was a sickening game. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Welcome to the show, Cody McClure. Good to see you. Nice shirt. I like that shirt.
Thanks. Good to be here. Good to be anywhere. This is a good shirt. It's got a collar. It's pretty fancy for me.
Yeah.
A collar is about as good as it gets for me.
You look good.
A little button up occasionally. Yeah, it's good to be here on a Tuesday. How you doing today? I guess you already told everybody how you were doing. I didn't get a chance to hear the first segment.
I'm okay.
Did you tell him why I wasn't here?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, I got shot with a crossbow.
Again?
Yeah. It's unfortunate. I was on the way in, guy shot me right in the neck. Had to pull the arrow out and put a couple stitches in, put a bandage
looks
over
good.
It, back of the neck. So I'm good now, ready to go for the second segment. And the rest of the show, for that matter.
Good to go. Love to hear it.
Yeah. So what are we talking about?
Well, we were talking about
sports.
We were talking about sports. We were talking about the Rams. I feel like we're frauds and kind of fraudulent Super Bowl champions last year.
That was ugly last night.
Yeah, it was ugly. Mm-hmm.
That offense, not good. I mean, you got Cooper Kupp, but otherwise,
that's all I got.
It's not good.
That's all they want too. And I was saying that I think that them letting Robert Woods go for a 6th-round pick just so they could sign Allen Robinson, who looks like a replacement level at best wide receiver. I mean,
bad
I think
move.
There's guys on practice squads who can move better than he can at this point.
Yeah, they did not look good. That offense looked pretty pedestrian.
Yeah.
Looked kind of like Tampa Bay.
Yeah,
their offense.
Yeah, two old teams out there.
Yeah, no Odell. Maybe they'll try to sign Odell again, you know?
Yeah, Odell, the price of Odell should be going up. If I'm Odell, like, he was apparently touring the Giants facility. I'm not going back there to play at Daniel Jones unless really miss New York. I'm not doing that. I am letting, like, the Ravens call me because they desperately need a number two receiver. I am letting the Rams call me. Hell, the Titans need a number two receiver if Treylon Burks is going to be out for a while. Like, there's a lot of people who could use somebody that could be good like Odell was. Odell showed that he is still a good receiver once he got away from Baker Mayfield. So
somebody better than Allen Robinson, maybe.
Yeah.
I guess if he went back to New York, that would add quite a dynamic to that offense.
Well, they'd actually have a wide receiver, but if I'm him, I don't know if I'd sign to play with Daniel Jones.
I don't know if you'd want to play with that quarterback. Yeah, if you could make it there, you could make it anywhere with that quarterback.
Some breaking Tennessee news, sort of, kind of. I think people kind of knew this was going to be the case because it was a scheduling quirk on the baseball side. But Arkansas, a trip to Arkansas has officially been added to the schedule, and Auburn has been taken off. So Tennessee baseball will travel to their biggest rivals at this point. Maybe Vanderbilt's still ahead of them. But they'll play at Arkansas April 14th through 16th if you're looking at a trip there. So go ahead and put that in your calendar the weekend after Vanderbilt comes to town. So that'll be a pretty fun, 8-day stretch.
Might be a good weekend for me to go see my buddies up there.
April 14th? That would be fun.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Be a good weekend. They have a good baseball environment up there.
Yeah, they hate Tennessee too.
Baum Walker, Tyson, J.B. Hunt, Walmart Stadium they play in up there. It's good, good little baseball atmosphere. Hard for me to care too much right now, though.
Well, I got some football news for you, too.
Right in the middle of football season.
It's official. I was just giving people the news.
It's official.
It's officially a sellout at Baton Rouge.
Okay. 102 whatever.
I don't know how many people they hold.
saw their capacity was 102-something. So I guess they're actually a little bit bigger than our stadium now. Not that it really matters once you get over six figures.
Officially a sellout. LSU fans apparently preparing for a good group of Tennessee fans come, maybe as high as 20,000 people headed down to the Bayou. I do know a lot of people going. I don't know 20,000 people going, but I have seen quite a few people saying they will be there.
20,000 we're going to put in there?
That's what some people are speculating.
A fifth of that place is going to be orange?
That's what some people are speculating.
We should be able to hear our crowd down there.
I do think you'll see a lot of orange. You said you went to look for a shirt. What did you buy? Did you buy a new Tennessee shirt?
I did. I got a shirt for the weekend.
What color did you go with? Orange or white or gray?
Black. And I'll tell you why.
Go ahead.
You look like you're judging me.
I'm not judging you. I'm imagining just... Well, I'll let you tell the reason why.
Oh, so you know the reason
why? No, I don't know what reason why, but I got an idea of what the reason why is.
Go ahead and tell me your idea.
No, you tell me what
you
think.
No, what's your idea?
I just imagine that if you're going into a store, your options are kind of limited at your size.
That's correct. Yep. I went into the Vols shop. They had no big and tall options. And then I went into Alumni Hall over, well, I guess they're not a sponsor, but they had a shirt for me, so shout out to them, I guess. I went in there and I said, hey, you got a big and tall section? And then I was like, or just big? The girl was like, we have a few items. So, yeah, so I went over there and
checked Hound Dogs.
Yeah, probably should have. Is that a sponsor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Of course, I messed that up.
It's all right.
Well, maybe I go to Hound Dogs today and see if they got any big and tall.
Have you taken the tags off yet?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah. But it is a nice shirt.
Okay.
It's a black shirt.
Do you go t-shirt or polo or what'd you go with?
It's a polo.
Okay.
It looks like this.
We're going collars.
It's got these
two times
little,
in 1 week.
Well, it's got these little white spots, like a pattern.
Okay.
Kind of. It looks good.
I believe
it's,
you.
It's a good look. It's
you always look nice on game day when I see you.
Cutter and Buck, I believe.
Okay.
Is the,
oh,
is
so it
the
sounds
brand.
Expensive too. Like $80, $90.
No, it wasn't that bad, but it was like 52, which okay. I don't. Guy like me, it's kind of tough to pay even 52 for a shirt. It's like
a good shirt, a good game day shirt is a good investment.
I needed one.
Right.
I needed one.
I think you should.
My orange button up that I usually wear on game days got ripped up last weekend. All the buttons got ripped out of it. So collar got stretched out.
That
so.
Fight cost you a concussion and your favorite shirt.
It cost my favorite shirt, so I got this. It's a nice black polo.
I was actually thinking about buying a shirt, too, because I don't really have a shirt I feel good about going to LSU in this weekend. I was thinking about doing the same.
Sometimes a nice new shirt will make you feel like a new man.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. I got some nice – I don't want to break back out the Reggie White jersey because it's going to be
– It is good.
85 degrees out there. I mean, it is good, but I don't know if I want to break
it
back
hot,
out.
It's not hot, is it?
Well, I mean, it's not. I wouldn't say it's cool.
Short sleeve. It's a jersey. Yeah.
Why does he want to break it back out two game days in a row?
Fair. Are you because of the photo ops? Or?
Yeah, yeah, oh, okay. Yeah, photo ops.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I could if I don't find anything else. Then I got, you know, baseball jerseys. Can't wear a baseball jersey down there.
I don't want to, at least. No, you don't want to do that.
Then I got, like, some nice, like, long-sleeve stuff, but it's going to be too hot for long-sleeve stuff. So otherwise, I just got, like, some t-shirts. I don't really have any short-sleeve options other than the jersey.
I feel like an idiot now that we have an apparel sponsor, and I didn't even – and then I gave a shout-out to the two other apparel dealers.
I'll cut that out of the podcast.
Yeah, cut that out.
I'll cut that out of the podcast, and you can go and –
I'll go check out Hound Dogs. I will go check them out, though, because I would like an orange one if possible, but it's hard to find big sizes, you know.
So I was debating going to find something to buy, too.
What are you thinking, like a polo or a button-up?
I don't know. I don't have any polos. I got a button-up, but one of my buttons got ripped off, too, so when I do wear my button-up, I just leave it unbuttoned. But it's going to be too hot for that, too, because it's long sleeves. I got a short sleeve one that's not officially UT orange, but it's pretty close. It's a little too big on me, so it doesn't really look good.
Yeah, that's the dilemma.
It's a whole thing. I didn't know if I should wear the gray since we were in the smoky grays, which, by the way, told you 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Cha-ching.
Yep.
Told you.
Yeah, you did. You did.
Yeah.
Go-to
uniform guy around here.
Is Tillman playing?
I haven't heard anything about Tillman.
Okay.
I did also say that about the leading into the Florida game, but I didn't think
he I knew you got that one right, so that's why I was curious.
I haven't heard anything about Tillman. I haven't asked, but I haven't been told. So this is just my assumption. My assumption has been that he will be back for Alabama.
Yeah.
I hope he's back.
Give him that extra week. And,
yeah. Although, I mean, I would love for him to play against LSU. People are picking LSU.
I'm not sure why people are picking LSU.
It's just the computers are picking Tennessee by one.
By one now?
Yeah. Like, so not the point spread, but the actual, like, computers are spitting out, like, basically 31-29.5.
This is getting closer and closer to a toss-up kind of game.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I think at this point it feels like a toss-up game when you look at just the point spread and the FPI and all that stuff. Like, the point spread gives you the edge, but the FPI doesn't give you the edge, and the computers basically have it as 50-50. So, like, I will say it does feel like a coin flip at this point.
Problem is, if we lost, we'd be 4-1.
You can't lose this game.
I want to be 5-0.
Yeah, losing this game stinks.
I mean, you can lose this game.
If you lose this game with Bama coming to town, though, like, you go from 4-0 to 4-2 pretty quickly. At least that's what the vibe starts screaming.
The party's kind of over at
that point.
The
party is over. That's the way to phrase it. Good phrase. The party is over.
You can still go 9-3, have a really good year. I mean, it's not like it's
9-3 is not really good. 9-3 would not feel really good. If you go 5
and, you don't think so?
If you go 5-3 down the stretch, I do not consider that really good.
The expectations have jolted.
Yeah.
Well, I still try to think back to where we were before the year.
Stop it. Do you not think this team looks better than they did before the year?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, then stop it.
But didn't we?
Expectations
have
changed.
We all said we'd lock in 9-3.
Expectations have changed. When I look at Kentucky and I look at LSU, expectations have changed. I would not lock in 9-3. No chance, no doubt about it. Did I say I'd lock in 9-3?
Definitely before the year, you would have locked it.
I think I said I'd be happy with it, but I don't know if I said I would lock it in.
Yeah,
I think I said I would be content and happy, but I would not lock it in.
Could 9-3 still get you to the Sugar Bowl, or would that'd probably be a Citrus Bowl, wouldn't it?
Most likely, although no one in the West is very good, so 9-3 maybe still gives you a chance to be the third best SEC team.
Double digit 10-win Vols trip to the Sugar Bowl sounds a lot better. That's the thing. We're gonna have to go back to New Orleans here in just a couple months.
Well, I'm not even locking that in anymore either.
Excuse me?
I'm not even locking that in.
We're not locking in a Sugar Bowl?
I'm not. You can.
What, are you going to roll the dice on a playoff bid?
I am.
Oh.
I am.
Mr. Excitable.
I mean, I've been thinking a lot about this, actually. And, yeah, I'm rolling the dice. I don't think I would remember a Sugar Bowl 15 years from now. Finally. I don't think I'd be like, wow, remember that time we went to the Sugar Bowl and went 10-2? No one talks about those seasons. We used to do those seasons all the time. We got sick of those seasons. I'm good.
Nobody talks about the Sugar Bowl?
Well, I mean, people still talk about the 85 one, I guess. But
all
like,
the time.
I don't. I mean, I wasn't alive then, but I don't look back on it. I was like, wow, I wish I'd have been there for that. I don't. Now, granted, the Sugar Bowl is a lot bigger in 85 than it is in 2022.
Is that not like maybe the second or third best season Tennessee's had in memory?
We've went 10-2 a whole bunch of times.
Yeah, I'm just saying, though, Sugar Bowls, 85, that's probably the second biggest. I mean, you got the 98 championship,
sure.
But what's a bigger season than the 85 season?
I mean, you finished ranked third in 1995.
What'd you do in the postseason, though? Like,
I mean, you won the Citrus Bowl. You went 11-1. I mean, you finished third in the country.
Okay. Can't spell citrus without UT.
In 84, you won the Sugar Bowl. You went 9-1-2, won the Sugar Bowl, and finished number 4 in the country. Finished 5th in 1989 with the Cotton Bowl.
Those Sugar Bowl years are pretty big memories to the—
Finished 4th in 2001 with the Citrus Bowl win. Now, granted, you kind of had a sour taste in your mouth because you choked in the SEC championship.
You pummeled Michigan.
Yeah.
And that's—
So, I mean, I think those seasons are just as good as winning the Sugar Bowl.
That 85 one, though, part of it's because of the opponent, you know, because you beat Miami. And the Sugar Bowl used to mean more than it does now.
That's what I was acknowledging. That's why I'm not locking it in. No. I'm not doing
this.
I'm
not saying you lock it in. I mean, you still try to beat Alabama and Georgia.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You said you would lock it. No. You're scoffing at the idea that I said I would roll the dice. You scoffed at the idea. You said, what? Mr. Adventurous, you're not taking a Sugar Bowl? Wouldn't that be our second best year ever? That's exactly what you said.
That might be what I said, but I don't know. I mean, I don't. I don't really understand. I don't really understand this. The you're playing the games either way. You know, like you're going to have a chance to win them either way. So,
well, that's what the hypothetical is all about. We're in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Only 100 calories, 1 gram of sugar. New York Post is reporting that Tom Brady and Giselle have hired divorce lawyers. Damn. Hope Tom Brady drinks a lot of White Claws tonight. I say drink them responsibly. I would imagine he's going to drink them pretty recklessly. Go
please,
home,
especially this week. Come on, Tom. Show up hungover Sunday.
Go home and be a family man, Tom. It's not too late. It's not too late. Drink some White Claw hard seltzer and support the people who support us. Cam, send us a break. We'll continue the conversation after the break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Jalen McCullough says that he is excited to wear the Smoky Grays. They look amazing. But the main thing is still the main thing, and that's to win in Baton Rouge. I agree. You happy with the Smoky Grays or no? You glad we're wearing them? Don't care.
Doesn't matter to me. I think I'd rather wear orange because I was telling you last week I always like the way the orange tops clash with the yellow pants when we play LSU, orange-yellow. It's a very vibrant game. It might be my favorite clash other than when we play Kentucky. I've always liked the way the orange contrasts with the blue. Also, that Kentucky blue.
Okay. Still trying to figure out if I'm going to wear. Should I wear Smoky Gray? I like this orange little soft hoodie they have, but I can't want to wear a hoodie.
You still don't know what kind of shirt you're going to get?
No. $99 for this polo.
Oh, my God.
What?
Cutter and Buck.
That's so much. Maybe mine wasn't Cutter and Buck. Maybe mine was
phony.
Different
tried
brand.
To sneak it past us.
Well, I tried on two. My only options were white or black.
Yeah.
I could have gone white, but the white had stripes. And I was like, I'm not a stripes kind of guy.
Yeah.
I think stripes make you look heavier anyway.
Some say they're slimming.
Stripes are slimming?
That's what some say.
I thought black was slimming.
Multiple things can be slimming. Yeah, it's just like the pattern and color. There's two. So I think if you wore striped black,
you have to wear horizontal stripes, right?
I can't remember which direction, but it is one way.
I think vertical stripes make you look bigger. Horizontal ones make you look thinner, I think is what
I would think the opposite. I would think horizontal.
Oh, wait, no, it is the opposite. It is the opposite.
Yeah, horizontal because you're going left to right. It's like, look how much surface area that guy covers left to right. That stripe goes all the way.
According to scientists, hold on, this is from a boutique. Let me read this. According to scientists, horizontal stripes can make you look thinner. This is because they seem to fill space more than vertical stripes do. But on the contrary, vertical stripes can elongate your figure and make you look taller. So maybe if you look taller with the vertical stripes, then you look thinner. I don't know. Just wear either. Interesting. Just wear stripes. Wear a checkered. It's got both.
I didn't have that option.
Both vertical and horizontal.
The option I had was white with horizontal stripes.
You probably don't need to wear checkers either. They'll start calling you Chubby Checker.
They will? Who will call me that?
Hey, do the twist for me. Come over here, Chubby Checker. Do the twist for
me. Maybe I can get a domino pattern. They'll call me Fats Domino, too. I went with black. I know they say black is slimming. I like black. Although you do get the dead skin on the black. You got to keep wiping
what?
Off, you know.
Just put some lotion on, bro.
Yeah, I'm ashy.
Put some ashy on. We got to take you from ashy to classy. Come on.
Well, I don't know. Somehow my hair is oily and dry at the same time.
Yeah.
It gets oily throughout the day, but I have dry scalp. So, great combination.
I don't really have any advice there. I don't have any hair.
That's true.
Yeah.
You still have a scalp. Does your scalp ever get dry, or do you?
My forehead gets a little dry sometimes, and I put some lotion on it. But other than that, I don't really do anything.
I don't use lotion like I should because I just hate the feeling of lotion.
Okay. So, you just prefer being rough and ashy. Got it.
Yeah.
Cam, do you think I'm crazy for saying I would roll the dice rather than go 10-2 and go to the Sugar Bowl?
No, you never know. Georgia and Bama both look beatable at times this year. Who's to say we're not going to be the one that actually beats them? Alabama's due for a loss, as they are every year. So, hey, Maybe that's us.
So in my scenario, you get to have LSU and Kentucky with no sweat, right?
Right. Well, I mean, I wouldn't say no sweat, but you get to win. Yeah, you know you're winning.
In your scenario, you can roll the dice against the Big Two,
yep.
But you might go 8-4.
You might go 8-4.
I'm logging in my 10-2.
I don't blame you. I think you're a coward, but some people are just cowards.
Right.
I don't blame you for how you, morphed over your years. You were a victim of circumstance.
Okay.
Society got you. It's not your fault.
Right. But the thing is, you're not going to beat Alabama and Georgia.
You might beat one.
You're not good enough to do that.
You might. That attitude.
Alabama
always loses one. Everyone gets saving once. Ain't that what you told me?
No, not everyone. We don't. Arkansas doesn't, and Mississippi State doesn't.
Everyone else gets him at least
Everyone
once.
Else gets him.
All right.
He's 46-0 now against the three of us.
Well,
sounds like he's about to be 46-1.
Someone say you're due. Someone say it's really hard to beat somebody 46 times.
Yeah.
Or 47, whichever one it is.
47's even harder.
Yeah, 47's tougher.
Here's my thing.
Maybe no one beats us 47 times in a row.
I just know that I'm not worried about the Kentucky game.
Yeah.
But I'm starting to, like, this LSU game, the fact that the line's going down and people think it's going to be close, I'd like to know we're going to win it. I'd like to have that comfort and saying, okay, we're 5-0. Now, if you roll the dice, could you go 11-1?
And actually win something that matters?
If a miracle happens, maybe.
Just think about how good that miracle would feel, though.
Oh, it would feel great.
Don't you just want to roll the dice on just maybe on the 10% chance you get to feel that? 10% chances hit all the time, bro.
I would be giddy.
Yeah.
But you remember.
It would be the biggest win we've had since 1998.
Okay, well, here's the other side of this. In 2016, you would have said at 5-0, you're going to roll the dice down the stretch, obviously. But what if I had told you could have just locked in 11-1 with a loss to Alabama?
No. I would have taken that. Because you'd have won the East.
I just know rolling the dice has not always ended well for us.
I would have taken 10-2 after the Georgia game. Now, maybe I wouldn't have been the actual thing, but like that team felt a lot different.
Do you think this team is better than that team? I know this team is coached better.
I think this team is more consistent.
I don't. This team is coached better.
This team is geared. Well, I think that matters. I think that matters. That's a part of consistency to me. You can't tell me the 2016 team was better when you didn't know what you were going to get for half the games.
Well, yeah.
They dug a hole every time, and you could say they were lucky to beat App State.
They always got down.
Lucky to beat Virginia Tech because Virginia Tech fumbled 5 times, and we recovered all of them. Lucky to beat Florida because you came back, and lucky to beat Georgia on a Hail Mary. Like, you could say all those things.
It was a little fluky.
And you'd already beaten Georgia and Florida. So, like, I think down the stretch, if you had told me 10-2, that pretty much would have guaranteed we win the East. And I think I might have taken that one. Because going to A&M that year, much tougher than going to LSU this year.
Much tougher?
Yeah, probably.
I mean, I guess we can argue about how much the word much means. But, like, we were 7-point underdogs in 2016. They were top 10 in the country. Whereas we're favored in this game, and they're number 25 in the country. So, like, I think it's
a
tougher game.
I don't really know what the argument is. I think I would roll the dice too. I don't know why I'm arguing it on the other side of it.
I mean, I want to beat LSU. I understand what you're saying. You want to lock in at least 10, and that matters. And 10 wins would matter. We started out arguing about 9-3 is what we kind of were saying. I was like, I wouldn't even, you know.
I would just much rather have 10. Then have 9 on the off chance I could get 11.
Okay.
Because I think the chance of getting 11 is quite low.
Okay.
But I don't know. Could roll the dice.
I just feel much better about the rest of our schedule than I did before the year. You know, when you're talking about locking stuff in the beginning of the year, I thought Pittsburgh was going to be better. I thought Florida was going to be better. I thought Kentucky wasn't going to look like frauds. I thought this LSU team might be pretty good. And now I look at them and, like, you know, the rest of the schedule, South Carolina stinks.
So are you concerned?
Missouri stinks.
Is your concern that we will get to 10-2 and not really have a significant win?
No, because I think we're getting, you know, if say you win, you beat LSU, that's going to be your third ranked win of the season already out of 5 wins.
But if those teams all end up just being like 7-5?
I don't think that matters because I think teams fall apart all the time. I think, you know, beating the Kentucky team will still feel good, and you can, that'll be a top 20 win. So, you know, if you go 10-2, you're going to have at least four ranked wins on your schedule. You will have, you know, started a win streak against the lower tier SEC teams. You would have a win streak against Kentucky, South Carolina, Missouri,
which you've already got.
But, right. Well, I'm saying you add to it. Is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, like, and you finally start a streak against Florida.
Yeah. Well, you at least end their streak. You got to win two before I consider you start a streak. But you're on the right side of it, and you feel good about it. So no. Don't get me wrong. 10-2. Would feel awesome when you look back at it. You know, when you get back out of the year, I wouldn't like diminish that and say, "Well, who'd you beat?" Because you beat some teams, and you did what you're supposed to do. And quite frankly, your only two losses would be teams that, you know, no one in the country would really beat. So like, no. This year would be a huge accomplishment. It's just I want more at this point. Yeah. I was talking yesterday about 2019 LSU.
I know.
And I think we can win a national championship? You know, we can. Do I think we will? No. But I think that we have a puncher's chance, and I want to get in the ring and throw some punches.
Well, we'll throw some punches.
I just think this might be the best we'll be, though, too. Like, I mean, I think we have
a long time.
I mean, I don't know. It depends on what Nico is. If Nico is the savior and the truth that we think he is, then, you know, maybe we just keep this thing rolling, and every year we roll it with an elite offense. But
I don't think we should compare a high school quarterback to Jesus Christ.
Some people believe that the Savior has other names besides Jesus Christ, just for the record.
Poor taste.
But I was just saying, like, I think Hendon Hooker is the best quarterback we've had since Peyton Manning.
So we need to go ahead and do something with him.
So, like, let's try our best to do something with him this year. I'm not saying that this is the peak of Josh Heupel's tenure, but I'm saying it's, you know, to have a 24-year-old grown-ass quarterback who is playing at the highest level you've had anybody play in 25 years – that's something we shouldn't take for granted. We have three NFL receivers and a pretty good fourth one all of a sudden with Ramel Keaton. We got two tight ends that can play, you know, if we can get Fant to hold on to the ball. But, like, we got two tight ends who can get open and catch the ball. And, you know, our defense is hopefully good enough. I do have questions about whether or not our defense is good enough.
It would be sweet to finally get a big time win.
That's what we have to
like
do.
Like a big time college football win.
Yeah.
One that rocks the nation.
Yeah.
You know? Like Florida was obviously cool. That was our weekend. But that was just something we needed to take care of personally.
And that was personal business. That's a good point. And you know, before the game I said that was about us more so than Florida. And I do think it was about just kind of cleansing and finally getting another big win inside Neyland Stadium, because you hadn't really had one since 2016. You beat Kentucky that one year when they were, like, ranked 11th. But whatever. We know we own Kentucky. We don't celebrate those too much. But, like, outside of that, you hadn't had any big wins inside Neyland Stadium. You had 2016 Florida, and that's really all you've had since, I mean.
Florida has been the best wins you can get. Like, that's your.
Well, they had the best that you could have gotten, because, you know, you've had chances with Alabama and Georgia. But, like, they're the best you have gotten.
I mean, you beat Georgia, but it was before.
I'm talking about Georgia now. I'm talking about you've had chances
to
get
beat
since then.
Modern Georgia.
Right.
Big bad Georgia.
So, like, really, like, when you look at Neyland Stadium the last, you know, since 2010, just, you know, we'll just go the last 12 years, you got what I would consider four big wins inside Neyland Stadium, and two of them were against South Carolina and Kentucky, and two were against Florida.
Yeah.
That's about it. So, I mean, average Georgia team.
2015 Georgia.
Yeah, they got Mark Richt fired. I mean, that team wasn't very good. But I'm just saying, like, you beat number 11 South Carolina, number 11 Kentucky, and you beat Florida twice.
Well, when's the – I mean, you haven't had a massive win inside Neyland, like a top five win? What was the
– I would say top 10.
What was the 2004 Florida team? What were they ranked? They couldn't have been – I mean, they had Ron Zook, so they couldn't have been ranked
too high. I don't know.
I mean, it's probably been a very long time.
I mean, it's been a long time.
You had that Auburn team come in 2004 when game day was here, but you lost.
I just think this season, I'm going to squeeze every bit of magic I can get out of this season. I think that's my larger point here.
Yeah.
Because I think, like I said, Hendon Hooker is the best quarterback we've had since Peyton Manning. When I said
I heard you say that.
When I said I would take him over Josh Dobbs before the year, some people said I was stupid. I think Hendon Hooker's been even better than I thought. So, like, has he been as accurate as he was last year at times? No, he's sailed the ball a little bit. But I think his running has been so much better.
So you'd take him even over Casey Clawson.
Yeah. I mean, I think Casey Clawson.
T. Martin.
I think Casey Clawson and T. Martin had NFL teams.
Uh-huh.
I understand that Hooker's in a perfect offense for him and, like, has skill position players,
and
too. And, like,
take him over Rick Clawson?
Yeah. It depends. We'll see what he does at LSU. Rick's got to win at LSU.
About Matt Sims.
Yep.
Jonathan Crompton.
Yep.
Keller Chris.
Yes, I'll take him over Keller Chris as well. Barely.
Justin Worley.
Yep.
Even Justin Worley. Wow.
Yep.
Worley's got a top 11 win.
What about Jimmy Clausen?
I did always like Jimmy, but he made the wrong decision. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Having the conversations, but the more weeks we play, the less crazy it feels to me. Before the year, if we were having this conversation about rolling the dice on 10-2, yeah, it would have felt stupid. But I've watched this team play, and I'm sucked in. I'm sucked in, and I'm ready to go.
I'm taking an alternate Tennessee minus 9.5 this weekend.
What's the spread looking like on that, Cam? Plus like 340?
230 only.
Oh.
That's not very good.
I don't know if I would do that, Cam.
For us covered.
Well, I'm very confident that we're going to run them out of their own building.
What's 6.5?
162.
I think I'd rather just do the 162 than the 200. But either way, you do you.
We're going to win by two scores.
You do you. You do you. I'm not here to talk you out of
it. They're not going to be able to keep up.
Did you win your two-score bet? You did that? Did you do that with the Pittsburgh game or the Florida game?
I did with the Florida game. And it did not. No.
You almost did. Should have,
but
I did that Rams-Vols parlay that you were talking about yesterday.
I am sorry that Matthew Stafford threw that pick six.
Although I felt
like we were on the wrong side of that the whole night. I've had an instant regret the whole entire game.
I did too.
George Kittle didn't get that second foot down for the touchdown. They kick a field goal from the 2-yard line. They then miss a field goal. We were living. I thought we were going to sneak out, living right, and then Matthew Stafford threw one of the worst pick sixes.
I did that odd boost, too. It was like plus 500 for both quarterbacks over 200 yards and a Kittle touchdown, and that would have hit, but Kittle didn't score the touchdown. Ah. So,
did you do the one that was like plus 250 on the
Cooper Cup
and Debo Samuel, 80 yards?
I didn't do that one, no.
Oh, that's, of course, that's the one that hits.
Yeah, well, yeah, of course.
Yep. I'm sorry
Tough
for that.
Tough night.
Sorry for that.
Tough night.
You know what you do now?
You do.
You just take Tennessee in the first quarter. It is a pick'em in the first quarter. And LSU has scored 3 points against their three Power 5 opponents in the first quarter.
That's a good bet.
And we were the best first quarter team in America
last
year.
And we're coming off 2 weeks of rest where we've had 2 weeks to script and game plan. And Brian Kelly was doing his press conference yesterday acting like he had no clue about Tennessee's offense. Like the stuff he was saying made it clear that he has no clue what we actually do on offense. It's like, they just go really fast, which means they can't really be complex or run a lot of motion. And we're just like, okay, that's not exactly true. But
that is the very wrong answer there.
Yep. Do you think he – so you don't think he knows?
I mean, I think he'll learn this week, but I'm just saying I just feel like he's in for a rude awakening. I don't think he'll be caught by surprise by the time Saturday rolls around. I just don't think he's very prepared, meaning that, like, he's been focused on the opponents he plays, which is fine, but Tennessee's been getting ready for him for 2 weeks.
Is Brian Kelly a
I think he's a good coach.
Guy?
No, he's a defensive guy.
Defensive guy, yeah. Okay.
Well, let me double check that. I thought he was a defensive guy, but let me check that. I might be wrong on that.
I don't know.
His offenses have always been worse than his defense, so I feel like he might be.
That would make sense.
Let me double check.
They did always have good defenses.
He played linebacker in college.
Checks out. He's a defensive guy.
He was a DC at Assumption, whatever the hell that is, and then a DC at Grand Valley State. So, yeah, he's a defensive guy.
Yeah. Okay, that checks out.
Like, I think he's a good coach. Like I said, I think they'll watch film and he'll figure this out. But I think, like I said, that Josh Heupel has been watching film and getting ready for LSU for 2 weeks now.
I don't know what I'm missing with the spread and everything. I mean, I know that this is a big game for them, but
it's a big game for us.
Yeah, it just to me it feels a lot like the Florida game as far as like the opponent we're playing. I don't think that they're that good. I think we're the kind of team that we're three scores better. I just don't know if we'll put it together to win by that much.
Well, the thing is, we don't have to win by that much. The spread's 2.5, and the first quarter line is a pick 'em. So
yeah, but that's so low. Well, yeah, I mean it's good for gambling if you feel good about Tennessee. I'm just talking
about
in terms of winning.
I think our biggest weakness is our secondary, and I don't think Jaden Daniels can throw the ball.
I'm not scared of him at all.
Like, I'm not acting like Tennessee's invincible, but I can just look and say, like, the thing I'm scared about is, like, him throwing the ball. And I think Anthony Richardson put up the game of his life, and they still are going to lose by three scores.
Mm-hmm.
And I think LSU's secondary is just as bad. They let Auburn's backup quarterback throw for 300 yards. Like, I think Kendo Cinco is going to go in there and put another 350, 400 yards up. Like, I don't think we're going to stop more than, like, three times.
Yeah, as long as Hendo does his job, you feel good about us winning.
I mean, that's knock on wood, jinx and all this stuff, but, like, My man's thrown two interceptions as a starter. Like, I don't see him coming down there and coming unraveled.
You know that USC guy, Caleb Williams, mm-hmm. officially broke Hooker's record for most passes without an interception.
Oh, really?
And I think it was either the very next throw or the one after that he threw a pick.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That's funny.
I was watching it during the Arizona State game.
That's funny. So they, Hooker get the record back in like three,
oh, yeah,
in like
yeah.
four or five
three
passes?
Or four passes, yeah. He'll get it back.
Maybe this all ages poorly, but like I said, I think the first quarter is key. They've scored 3 points total against their three Power 5 opponents, Auburn, LSU, and Mississippi State. 3 points. They scored 3 points against FSU and got shut out in the other two. And Tennessee, for a year and a half now, has been really, really good in the first quarter.
Mm-hmm. So that's your lock of the week?
I mean, yeah. And I think that if we – like, LSU fell behind to Auburn, 17-0. Fall behind 17-0 to us, like, we've done that a couple of times, and those teams have gotten absolutely blown out.
So if I had a savings account, I would just empty it.
I think that Tennessee is going to be up after the first quarter. I think Tennessee is going to win this game. I cannot speak about your savings account, but I will say that I feel very confident that Tennessee is a fast starter, LSU is not, and that we have firepower and they do not. Mm-hmm. It is Tuesday. Tomorrow, we are doing another GNJ Auto Graphics giveaway, as we are every Wednesday during football season. You can win your free window tent by going online and registering at fanrunradio.com/tent. That's fanrunradio.com/TINT. Then you just listen to Fan Run Radio on Wednesdays. I believe we're doing our giveaway tomorrow at 2 p.m. Free window tent Wednesdays, courtesy of GNJ Auto Graphics. Check them out online at gnjauto.com. Hour one of the books, hour two on deck. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.